This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Talking Horses. Winx the Wonder Mare continued her amazing journey yesterday with a world record 23 Group 1 wins at Randwick. Congratulations to her connections. It was a memorable race for more reasons than the record she broke. Happy Clapper dished it up to her by bowling along strongly in front all the way, bar the shadows of the post. He made it a proper contest. Let's savour every moment she races this campaign. As Chris Waller, her trainer, said yesterday, the sun is starting to go down on her career. On this week's show, we catch up with Newgate's Bruce Slade to discuss their stallion Wanjanar, which had a winner in Victoria this week. Plus, we talk to Luke Wilkinson, who has landed an exciting new role with Yulong after many years with Mick Price Racing. David Wishaw from Armidale Stud in Tasmania is also a guest this morning. Their stallion Needs Further got his first Group 1 winner yesterday, Mystic Journey, in the Australian Guineas. A huge result for Tassie. And Fiona McIntyre will join us to discuss an important gathering that took place this week with Racing Victoria's off-the-track retrainers. But first, we remember Mike Willacy, the Australian media icon who passed away this week. Mike was heavily involved in horse racing back in the 80s and 90s.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Very sad news on Friday with the passing of Mike Willacy at the age of 76 after a four-year battle with throat cancer. Mike Willacy was, of course, renowned as one of Australia's greatest journalists and media performers, but he was also a huge player in the horse racing and breeding industry. And he had Transmedia Park many years ago outside of Cootamundra in New South Wales, where he stood a number of our iconic stallions. Canberra-based trainer Gary Kirkup was with Mike Willacy back in those days at Transmedia Park Stud as his private trainer, and he's a special guest with us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you, Gary?
Good, thanks, Joe.
Sad news on Friday?
Yes, very sad news. It was a bit of a shock, but, he's been very ill for quite a while.
Take us back to how you became involved with Mike Willacy at Transmedia Park.
My father actually ran the stud for him, Transmedia, and we were pre-training all his horses, race horses for him at the time, and Mike said, why don't you get a licence and start training some of the lesser ones, and we ended up building a big team there up to towards 30 horses, and we had quite a lot of success in Sydney with winners and a couple of stakes horses, and it was mainly just the big horses, stallions like Snippets and that he brought into, that he naturally kept with the trainers in Sydney and Melbourne, and we had a great time for 3 or 4 years.
What were some of the big highlights you enjoyed during that period?
We had quite a few winners in Sydney and Melbourne, but one of the great highlights was he always wanted to go to the Gundagai track, and he flew us over in the helicopter. We had four runners there, and three of them won, and it was just a great time for the locals there, and after the last, he said, you might as well come with me in the helicopter. So we flew back to his homestead on the stud and cooked up a barbecue and had a great night. That's one of my fond memories. But naturally, there were some good memories with Ice Cream Sunday winning the Emancipation Stakes at Randwick and the Tristark Stakes Caulfield Cup Day. There were so many good memories. Yeah, it was one of the best times of my life, to be honest.
What was he like as a person and to train for?
Look, you wouldn't even know he was, who he was, because he just acted like a very ordinary, natural person. He'd come to the stud every so often, and he'd talk to every single person on the stud. very natural and great to talk to. He's just a great man.
During that period, he was extremely passionate about racing and breeding.
Oh, he was. He loved his to go around the stud with my father and look at all the mares, all the progeny that his stallions were throwing. And, yeah, just made him proud to see him get on the track and winning. And, yeah, as you said, he was very passionate about it all.
Did he spend much time at Transmedia Park?
He did. He came often. Yeah, we had a lot of great memories of going up to his place and having tea with him, all the conversations, and it was unbelievable listening to some of the stories he had. Yeah, it was a great time.
Was he a hands-off or a hands-on type of breeder and owner to train for?
Look, he left everything to my father and the staff, and he never tried to interfere. He loved to try and pitch in and give a hand, but he never ever told anyone what to do. He was a fantastic person.
He had some iconic stallions standing at Transmedia Park Stud, the likes of Rubiton, Snippets, Sovereign Red and Sir Dapper.
Yeah. I think any stud would love to have those stallions at the time. They were four of the best stallions about at the time. And, they threw so many winners. It was fantastic.
Yeah. He had Bravery, which won him a Queensland Oaks and a Derby, and he was also involved in buying a number of Argentinian and Chilean racehorses and broodmares in the late 1980s, with the most famous of those being the Werribee Cup winner Savage Toss.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Savage Toss was the best horse from the... He brought a few there, and I actually had Gralita that won the Randwick Country Cup and was states placed in a couple of races, second in the Canberra National Sprint, and he had a few others that, yeah, just won some city races. But, it was sort of successful. He had a go at getting a few from over South America, and, yeah, it didn't work out too bad.
And he liked a bet?
Oh, he loved a bet, yes. Actually, my best memory was... We had a mare called Century City, and we took it down to Warwick Farm, and we said, look, she looks going to be very hard to beat. And we had Mick Dittman on her, and who was one of my idols at the time, and he got her home by about a nose. I don't think anyone else would have got her home. And Mike had quite a considerable bet at about 10 or 12 to 1, I remember, if she was. I got a nice little thing out of that.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah. And tell us a bit about the property itself, based down there at Cootamundra in New South Wales. It's become one of the legendary horse breeding properties of Australia.
Yes, he got my father to travel the world, actually, to America, England, to have a look at all the establishments, and... Dad came back and they sorted out how they wanted to build it all, and yeah, it's a magnificent stud. Tate's now own it, and they're carrying on the tradition of keeping the stud going.
Mm. It's been through a number of major hands. Of course, in 1993, Mike Willacy sold off Transmedia Park Stud to the Ingham Brothers Woodlands venture, and then 15 years later they sold it to Sheikh Mohammed and Godolphin. And as you say, more recently, Ollie Tate has set up camp there under the Twin Hill Studs banner.
Yes, that's right. Now, it's gone through a few very well-known people, and it's good to see the stud still going.
And they're having some success there at the moment, aren't they, with their stallions? It's a lucky property.
It is. Yeah, everyone that's had it has gone well, and... Yeah, Tate's has got Smart Missile there, and he's still getting lots of Sydney winners.
Would you describe those days back at Transmedia Park Stud and those spent with Mike Willacy as some of the greatest of your life?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, Jack. No, it was probably the best time of my life for sure. I couldn't compare it with any other time.
Very fortunate to have enjoyed that time.
Be associated with.
Was there something that you learned from him in particular, or knowledge that he strongly imparted on you that you've taken through the rest of your life?
Oh, I just love the way he was so humble, and he always was laid back at the stud, and you could see he was just sucking in all the what everyone says, and he was never a show off or anything. He was just so humble, and he was just a lovely man. And you just want to be like him.
Yeah. And so these days, Gary, you're training out of Canberra with success, of course.
Yes, we've had a bit of success on and off, and Smart has won a highway there a month or so, bit over a month ago, and we keep going along okay, Joe.
How many horses are you working these days?
I usually train 10 to 12 horses for a long time now. It just keeps me busy, and it's a good little life having around that, and just keeping with the racing people, it's great.
Yeah. Gary, thanks for joining us on the program this morning and sharing those great memories with the late Mike Willacy and Transmedia Park Stud.
Thanks very much, Joe. Thank you.
Gary Kirk up there, who's now based as a trainer in Canberra, reliving the great days training for Mike Willacy at Transmedia Park in New South Wales. Sadly, we lost Mike Willacy on Friday at the age of 76 after a long battle with cancer.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
Coming up towards the home corner of the 550, it's Rock and Gold in front, Biolink, Streets of Avalon, Circoni behind them, Grunt Needs an Out, Violate around them, followed by Hiyoshi, Poetic Dream, and next to the outside, Man of His Word, and further back in the field is Furion, still with a lot to do. It's Rock and Gold joined by Streets of Avalon and Violate on the outside at the 250, further back Hiyoshi and Grunt Can't Lift and Zebulon. It's Violate up to Streets of Avalon with 100 metres to go, Streets of Avalon and Violate, stride for stride, Violate gets its bib in front and pulls clear. Violate will win it. Violate along next Streets of Avalon and Zebulon up for third.
Having his first run in 20 weeks, Violate was impressive, winning yesterday at Flemington, the Shaftesbury Avenue Stakes, a Group 3 over 1,400 metres. He was narrowly beaten in the same race 12 months ago. Now he's potentially on to the All-Star Mile. He's by Sebring, who we lost last weekend. And Violate was a $70,000 Inglis Easter yearling sales purchase for Cloud 9 Thoroughbreds from the draft of Tarunga Farm. He now advances his record to 4 wins, 5 seconds and 4 thirds from 31 starts, with earnings of just under $500,000. Bred and offered for sale by Tarunga Farm, Violate is the best of two winners from Shantha's Girl, an unraced Redoute's Choice daughter of Group 1 VRC Emirates Stakes winner Sky Cuddle. A three-quarter sister to Group 3 winner and multiple Group 1 placed Champagne Cuddles, Shantha's Girl was sold for $155,000 at the Tarunga Farm dispersal to Ollie Tate's Twin Hills. She has a colt foal by Triple Crown hero American Pharaoh and was bred back to Pride of Dubai. Violate becomes the first stakes winner for Sebring following his tragic death at Widden Stud last Saturday.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses racing run through.
Racing at Flemington yesterday, and we opened the program with the listed 1,000 metre race, the very special kids plate. It was won by John McArdle's filly Mockery, a 2-year-old daughter of Verrazano, out of Alonro mare Madoni. Race 2 on the program at Flemington was the Roy Higgins quality listed race over 2,600 metres, won by Chabot, a 4-year-old horse by Pistorius, out of a Royal Dragon mare Staying Alive. The Bob Hoisted Handicap, a listed event over 1,000 metres. The winner was She's So High, a 4-year-old mare by I Am Invincible, out of an Exceed and Excel mare High Achiever. She's So High was sold for $120,000 at the 2016 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sale. Race 4 at Flemington yesterday was a benchmark 84 over 1,100 metres, won by Pat Carey's Swift Sis, a five-year-old daughter of Husson, out of a Spectrum Mare colour band. Swift Sis is related to winners Colour Me Crazy, Da Bang and Fancy Street. Philip Stokes continued his great run with a winner in race 5. The Sepet Wines played over 1,400 metres. Mr Quickie, a three-year-old gelding by Seamus Award, out of a General Nadia Mare special favour. Mr Quickie went through the 2017 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales for $115,000. The Group 3 Shaftesbury Avenue handicap over 1,400 metres won impressively by the son of Sebring, Violate. He's now a five-year-old gelding out of a Redoutes Choice mare, Shantha's Girl, and is related to a winner, Fill Me Up. He went through Easter in 2015 for $70,000. The Group 2 Blamey Stakes run over the mile. 50 Stars was too good, a four-year-old horse by See the Stars, out of a Sadler's Wells mare, Swizzle Stick. The Australian Guineas, the Group 1 feature of the day over the mile, won by Mystic Journey, bringing up the first win for a Tasmanian-trained horse on the mainland in more than 100 years. Mystic Journey is a filly by the Tasmanian stallion Needs Further, out of a Columbia mare, White Gold, and is related to winners Gold Phoenix and Leodoro. Mystic Journey was an absolute bargain buy at the 2017 Magic Millions Tasmanian yearling sale, selling for just $11,000. The Group 3 Tresidae Stakes over 1,400 metres, and the winner was Oregon's Day, a five-year-old mare by Doomsday, out of an Oregon mare, Oregon Seal. Oregon's Day is related to a stack of winners, Bell Seal, Bia Seal, GG Rider, Oregon Spirit, Oregon's Girl, Sacred Seal, Special K and Talent Show. It was also a big day in Sydney at Randwick yesterday with some black type features, including the Group 2 Skyline Stakes over 1,200 metres. Very impressive microphone winning, a two-year-old colt by Exceed and Excel out of an Anabar mare, Sung. He's related to winners Leader and Radcliffe and is now bound for the Golden Slipper, giving Godolphin a very strong hand in the race this year. The Snowden team was successful with a filly in the Sweet Embrace, a Group 2 over 1,200 metres. Anna Heed, she looked good winning too. She's a daughter of Fastnet Rock out of a Testa Rossa mare, Ross Dover, and is related to winners Farouk and Prontezza. The Group 3 Liverpool City Cup over 1,300 metres. John Thompson's Dreamforce successful. He's a six-year-old gelding by Fastnet Rock out of a Shinko King mare, Eskimo Queen, and related to winners Blowing Kisses, Clemency and Deep Chill. The Group 1 Chipping Norton Stakes, Winks making it a world record 23 Group 1 wins. For Chris Waller, of course, a seven-year-old mare she is these days by Street Cry out of the Al Akbar mare Vegas Showgirl. Winks an absolute superstar of global racing. She has no peer now as far as Group 1 win records are concerned. The Group 1 Surround Stakes over 1,400 metres. Nikita Jane was the winner from the Inform Mark Newnham stable. He's becoming a real powerhouse in Sydney these days. Nikita Jane is a three-year-old filly by So You Think out of a Flying Spur mare, Lustra Lady. Nikita Jane is related to winners Bold Temptation, Cirrus Rocks, Leighton Abbey and Talisa. The Group 2 Thoroughbred Stakes over 1,400 metres. Alassio was successful for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Botts, a five-year-old mare by Fox Wedge, out of a Red Ransom mare, Sinkay. Alassio is related to a winner, Sport Chic, and went through the 2015 English Australian Easter Yearling Sales Session 2 for $50,000. That's a look back at a memorable day from Randwick. Newgate Farm Stallion Wanjinar had an important winner during the week in Victoria at Kyneton on Thursday. A horse by the name of Order of Valour, his debut winner from Newgate. Bruce Slade, a guest with us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you, Bruce?
Yeah, really well, Joe. Thanks very much for having me. Yeah, we're really happy with the win. Obviously, credit has to go to Henry Dewey and his team. They obviously picked the horse out of the yearling. and paid over $200,000 for him at Melbourne Premier last year. And, you know, it's hard for horses to win on debut like that as two-year-olds. They have to be fit. They have to know their craft. And he was very, very professional and did the job very well, I thought.
They did pay a bit for him, $220,000 out of the English Premier sales from the Rosemont stud draft. So there was a bit of interest in him.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually, you know, we're down at Melbourne Premier last year with Henry, and his horse that you know, we thought was certainly a standout sort of type for Wanderer at that sale. And, you know, it's like anything with the good ones, you have to step up and pay the money. And in fairness to Henry, he backed himself. Obviously, there's his clients. And, yeah, I really hope, like, he's a horse that when you saw him as yearling, you thought he would really improve. He's got plenty of length about him. Looks very much like his old man, of course. And, of course, his old man, you know, he won it too, but was most dominant and competitive at three, of course.
Order of Valor is a three-quarter brother to stakes winner Prairie Fire and is the second winner, Bruce, for Consistency, an unraced half-sister by all bar one to stakes winner and stakes producer Nina Haraka, which was a flying machine.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Snitzel are pretty... That Snitzel line, you can see why Ed and Clark McKeon of Palia Bloodstock decided to send the mare to Wanjana. Obviously, the Snitzel's done very well with the family. Yeah, I suppose it made a lot of sense. Snitzel land on the page, Prairie Fire on the page. Yeah, clearly worked with the family. And the mare was a sharp, pretty sharp mare by all by one. It seems, anyway, so far so good. They've got the right result so far.
Order of Valor, Bruce, is the second winner for Wanjana, now joining the Group 3 place Deep Chill.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. Obviously, a horse trained by David Payne. He thinks a lot of Deep Chill. He's out of an Oaks winner, Eskimo Queen. So he's a horse that, you know, has obviously won on raw ability, and he really sees him as a size champagne sort of horse for a two-year-old and a real Guineas colt as a three-year-old. So I think David... sort of really looking forward to the next 12 to 18 months of that horse. I believe he's headed towards the size produce. So I believe the next step will either be the Todman or the Pango Pango. So next couple of weeks, you'll see him step out again. You know, like most of the ones, I think you'll see a lot of them step out and back into their two-year-old year, rolling into their three-year-old season.
There's been a bit of a buzz around for the Wanjanas. He was popular again last spring, Bruce, covering 124 mares.
Yeah, exactly. He had a couple of really nice early trial winners in Autocratic, who, of course, was trained by Peter Snowden, and we have the ownership in that colt along with China Horse Club and that colt syndicate that Henry's put together. Horse, again, that we really like that you'll see mixed out. Probably in the Pango Pango rolling of the size produce as well. There's a couple others here. The horse was vaporising a nice filly for Anthony Friedman that tried it really well. So on the back of that, we got a really nice book last season. The interesting thing, Joe, is that the 12 runners now, six of them have started or debuted in black type races. So they obviously show a fair bit at home. And like I say, I'd like to think for the next sort of 2 to 3 months, we'll see a lot more Wanjaners out on the tracks and winning races leading into their three-year-old careers.
And he's got 12 lots entered for the English Premier Yearling Sales starting today.
Yeah, exactly. He is 12 lots down there. Victorian breeds have been, you know, really good to the horse. Obviously, he won his main group one, the Australian Guineas, on this day a few years back. So, you know, the Victorian breed is known well. The Victorian trainers know him well. They've supported him, like we've seen in the past, well down there. So I expect him to, you know, in fairness to the horse, like, he's probably, everyone's waiting and watching a little bit now. So if you like a Wanjana at the sale there, I'd say make sure you're there bidding away, because if they're going to be viable, they're going to be viable this year, that's for sure.
And he's got two lots going through Easter at English Sydney sales.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a number, you know, he's in Adelaide and various other sales. So, yeah, I mean, he covered good books, Joe, his first couple of years. He actually covered more mares second season than he did first season on the back of his good foals. He's a horse that's, you know, attracted good interest right the way through his first four seasons. He's covered, you know, over 500 mares. So it's certainly, you know, his stallion success and that sort of thing is certainly not going to be for lack of opportunity. He's been really well supported by breeders. The commercial market likes him, and hopefully the market's got it right. You know, we'll find out in the next 12 to 18 months.
No doubt. And his fee's still pretty reasonable, Bruce, $22,000.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. I mean, that's probably, at the end of the day, you have to stand them where the market sees fit and where you can attract mares. I mean, the number one thing you have to do is attract mares to them and give them the opportunity. So that's where we've priced him to remain really competitive in the market, and hopefully, you know, those people that supported him third and fourth season have a real upward swing. I mean, if this horse kicks, like we hope he will, breeders can make a fair bit of money off a $20,000 base. So, I think he's great. He's been a great punt, and hence he got the support. Interestingly enough, he's had the two stakes horses, Grand Scholar for Tony McAvoy, a filly that he thinks a lot of, that we'll see again soon. Deep Chill, of course, Autocratic heading towards a size produce thing. So he's doing a nice job. I think Snitzel at the same stage had the one stakes horse. So, it's really early to tell where we're going to end up. But, we're sort of quietly confident at the moment. And, of course, it's going to come down to the results in the track, I suppose, in the next 18 months.
Well, certainly things are looking good so far. Thanks for joining us on the program, Bruce.
Appreciate your time, Joe. Have a great Sunday.
That's Bruce Slade from Newgate Farm. And Wanjinar, one of their stallions, getting another winner during the week at Kyneton on Thursday, a colt by the name of Order of Valour, one to watch. Luke Wilkinson is well known in racing and bloodstock circles in Victoria, and he's just been handed the opportunity of a lifetime with Yulong. After a long period with Mick Price Racing, over 9 years, he'll join the Yulong team as their bloodstock and racing manager, and he joins us on the program this morning. How are you, Luke, and congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Joe. It's been a long time since we worked together at Moonee Valley.
And you've come a long way since then. Well done on this appointment.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Yeah, it's been great.
So how did this all come about?
Out of the blue. I got approached by Sam Fairgray after the New Zealand Ready to Run sale this year. And, you know, I'd done 9 years with Mick, and I hadn't actually thought about leaving, but the opportunity was a brilliant one, and I had to take it.
So what will the role entail exactly?
So I'll be attending all the sales for Yulong with Sam, and it's just an extra set of eyes at the sales to be able to pick the horses that we want to go forward, and then select a trainer for each horse that we buy and then manage them along the way. It'll happen both in Australia and internationally.
Wow, so you'll be doing a lot of travel.
I think so. But I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't had too much exposure to international sales, so I'm really, really excited about getting over and sinking my teeth into that.
Luke, you're joining Yulong at a very exciting time of their development.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
They're having great success on the track and with their breeding stock.
Yeah, for sure. They've got some lovely horses going forward. Their two-year-olds are good. They're the first crop of selections from Sam Fairgray, and you can see the quality that he's purchased over the last 12 months. It should be some lovely horses to race in the next 18 months, 2 years.
I'm sure it was with mixed feelings and heavy heart that you made the decision to leave Mick Price Racing after so many years. You always looked up to Mick enormously, and he's really mentored you through your career.
Yeah, common knowledge that I cried like a baby when I told him. I was at the sales, and he's very much a father figure to me, and been a brilliant mentor along the way, both in life and with horses. So, it was with a heavy heart that I left, but he's very understanding and thought it was the best decision for my career.
What were some of the key things that you learned from Mick along that journey?
If there's a fork in the road, Mick Price will always take the right way with his horses. He always seems to make the right decisions. And just with the experience of working with him and being under that pressure and under that situation, you realise the right decisions to make. And that's always thinking of the owner first, no matter what happens. The truth and telling the owner straight away is always the best option, and it's something that I've learned off Mick.
What would you say was the greatest highlight you enjoyed during that time?
I think the best, I really enjoyed Lankan Ruby's win at Moonee Valley. That was his final Group 1 win where he came from the widest gate. That was really a highlight for me because I loved that horse. But to be involved in Extreme Choice when he won the Blue Diamond was a big thrill. And I actually watched Extreme Choice's races recently because we had a runner together, Mick and I, in the Blue Diamond with Shotmaker. And just to think back about Extreme Choice, about how good he was, it's, you don't realise it until it finished.
Luke, these days, are you racing many horses yourself?
I've got 30 still in the stable with Mick. So, look, they'll continue on. I've got Ocean X running this week. She'll run in Sydney. And Shotmaker's just gone to the paddock after running in the Blue Diamond. Masculino's been a bit of fun for us. Won a 400,000. So there's still a few there. And Mr. Zhang's happy for me to continue to race them until they're finished.
You've become quite the Leviathan owner, Luke.
I had to write down a list of all my horses, and it was a fair list, because I still got shares in a few stallions as well. So, but anyway, hopefully you can trim that up a bit and get the cash flow in the right direction.
You're so passionate about racing. I've known that for a long time, going back to our Moonee Valley days, working on the Cox Plate. That was an exciting period. Looking forward now to Yulong. Are you already under their tenure? Have you started with the role?
Yeah, so I started on Friday, had my first day of inspections at the Yulong sale on Friday. Yesterday, because the races were rescheduled a little earlier in the morning, it was hard for me to get to the auctions, but today I'm on my way out there now, and just a few drafts I have to get through, and really looking forward to an exciting day with Yulong selling and also Yulong buying. So there we go.
And what's your assessment of the catalogue for Inglis Premier this year that starts today?
Oh, I think it's fine. I think there's some nice horses there, and I'm never a one to go to an auction and have the doom and gloom. I always feel like there's always quality there, and you just got to search a little bit harder. So, I'm happy with what's there. I think there's some nice horses. There's going to be some nice money made by some of the sellers, and I think Vobis is very popular, so I'm sure some of the Vobis horses will make their money as well. So, but I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be a nice sale, good day, nice weather, and there'll be a big crowd out there today for sure.
A lot of improvements, as they needed to, have taken place since last year's sale, which was a bit of a dip. What's your opinion of the new facilities, and how much do you think that will impact positively on the results at the sale?
I'm not sure if it'll impact on the results, but it's always good to have a new facility. I don't think any buyer's going to go out there just because they've freshened up the place. But, look, I still think the place is great. It's easy to get around, and the facilities are fine, and I'm sure they'll have a good result. There's some really good staff that have just come on board at Inglis, and I'm sure that they're making positive moves with it.
Luke, thanks for joining us on the program. Once again, hearty congratulations on your appointment at Yulong. You'll be a great asset to them.
Thanks a lot, Joe. I'll see you soon.
That's Luke Wilkinson, who is now part of the Yulong team here in Victoria. What a fantastic result it was yesterday for Tasmania. An all Tassie result in the Group 1 Australian Guineas, with the filly Mystic Journey becoming the first Tasmanian-trained Group 1 winner on the mainland of Australia in more than 100 years. Quite remarkable. Mystic Journey is sired by Armadale Studs Needs Further. David Wishaw from Armadale is with us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you feeling, David?
Yeah, morning, Joe. Just a little bit slow out of the barriers this morning, but still on cloud nine.
I bet you are. What a great win it was.
Yeah, just huge. I just, I really think the whole of the Tasmanian racing community is pinching ourselves. There's no doubt we can breed great horses, but most of them get transferred to mainland trainers once they get to that sort of Group 1 company. And for Adam Trinder and his connections, I just think it's just an amazing feat to be able to bring her over on the ship on Thursday night, not win, but streak him in what was one of the better guineas fields we've seen in a while.
She's an absolute superstar, there's no doubt about that. She's even got her own Twitter account these days. She's known as Betty, or Betty the Jet, and the pride of Tassie.
Yeah, my word, yes. No, there's no doubt social media's becoming increasingly important, especially with her quest to get a start in the All-Star Mile. So the connection saw the need to jump on that band wagon, and I think it's definitely helped. She was very unlucky not to get in the All-Star Mile on votes, I thought. There was obviously two Tassie born, bred, reared and trained horses, so with Hell of a Street vying for a position as well. Unfortunately, I think the two of them cost one another a start in the race on votes, but hopefully a wild card on Monday may change that scene.
Speaking of Mystic Journey's Twitter account, there was a great post late yesterday, and it said, "Today is for the believers. Doesn't matter where you're from, believe you can buy a horse for $11,000 and mix with the best in Australia. You may not have a big-name trainer or jockey, but with the right support behind you, anything is possible." They were great words.
Yeah, I agree, and I they really echo with me. I guess that sort of stuff gets me out of bed every morning. We're only a small stud in national terms. Most Tassie trainers are only small trainers on national terms. But this dream gets us all out of bed every morning. The dream that what we do can make a difference and we can compete at the top echelon of racing in Australia or anywhere in the world and beat them fair and square. And I think that would resonate with a lot of not only breeders but trainers and owners and probably emerging jockeys as well. So, yeah, love those words myself too.
A milestone day, not just for Tasmanian racing, for your stud Armadale, with needs further siring his first Group One winner, Mystic Journey. What's the story behind him?
Trying to cut a long story short, things were pretty tough in Tassie. My father passed away in 2008, and my mother took over the running of the stud. Broodmare numbers had dwindled from 1,000 broodmares based in Tassie to 500 in less than 10 years. And our family sat down and we had a lot of workshop meetings about what we're going to do as a business going forward. My mother saw little future in standing stallions in Tassie, but said, "I'm very supportive of you if you want to give it a crack." And so we tried to network with as many bloodstock agents as we could. We were looking for a colonial horse with some early speed, with a pedigree that was easy to make to, and had some depth in his pedigree. My father always said, look for stallions under the pedigree and look for a stallion with depth in his pedigree. So we were lucky enough to get connected with Needs Further through Randwick Bloodstock. And they actually helped us finance us into the horse, and I guess the rest is history. We threw all the mares we had at him. He received 70 mares in his first year, which once again to national terms is very humble. Yet it was the best book a Tassie stallion had seen in 10 years. So I think he was very well received in our local market, and the right trainers bought them, and you know, horses like Mystic Journey, or Patina Arena is a stakes winner out of his first crop, and Mystic Journey's his flag bearer out of his second crop, and her three-quarter sister, Mystical Pursuit, once again is another stakes winner out of his third crop. So I think considering he had something like 160 foals in his first 3 years, I think he's doing an outstanding job.
What's his fee these days, David?
Well, my phone went silly this morning when I turned it on, and I had a lot of people sending texts booking mares in at last year's service fee, but I guess as a family and as a syndicate, we will sit down and discuss his service fee going forward. His service fee started at $3,000 plus GST. We increased it to $5,000 plus GST off the back of his first crop, in which he threw the winner of every two-year-old feature race in Tassie, including the Magic Millions two-year-old race, two Tassie Stakes races. He had a track record holder in his first crop. So we saw the need to increase it to something a bit more realistic. So we went to $5,000. Where it goes this year, I don't know, but it'll be something very realistic. My passion lies within giving breeders the opportunity to breed to good bloodlines at realistic and levels. So, yeah, watch this space.
How many mares did he last cover?
Yeah, once again, that was very humbling. He covered 49 mares last season, which we thought was a touch on the light side. we launched a new stallion, Alpine Eagle, son of High Chaparral, and there's no doubt he's taken mares away from Needs Further. He's a beautifully bred stallion as well, an impeccable type. And Alpine Eagle covered 90-odd mares last year, which saw obviously not a heap of mares left in the state to go to Needs Further. But we're really hoping with the performance of Mystic Journey on the racetrack at Flemington yesterday, and I'm pretty confident Mystical Pursuit will be over here in the spring. I think once he gets a few stakes horses in Victoria, we'll see the ship start trucking some mares from Victoria to Tassie rather than from Tassie to Victoria.
Yesterday's outcome with Mystic Journey winning the Group 1 Australian Guineas is a big turning point for Tasmanian racing and breeding, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. As I said, we all get out of bed dreaming every morning that what we are doing is going to make a difference, and what we're doing is going to see us compete at the top echelon of racing. And I think it'll make a lot of people down in Tassie stand up and be just a little bit more proud of what we're doing. It'll give several people some spring in their step, and I hope it encourages breeders to really, really consider sending their mares down to Tassie and to come and have a look at the stud and other studs in Tassie and what we've got to offer. I sincerely believe we've got the best country in Australia to grow horses out. We're blessed to have had green grass year-round. We've got some lovely rolling hills, which I think are great for laying down bone and growing young horses. And I think our trainers do an exceptional job. I think for Tassie trainers to have two starters in a Group 1 race yesterday is just huge. And you know, Scotty Brunton obviously had the inevitable in yesterday, and they've been very unlucky not to win a Group 1. They had Lady on there that came up against Typhoon Tracy in the Mire a few years ago, and they've been outstanding. You know, him and his father have been outstanding trainers for a long time. Adam Trinder's a trainer going places. He's a real young professional and doing an outstanding job. He's got exceptional attention to detail, and I think yesterday was just the beginning for him. So I really hope a turning point. I hope our local government can get behind the industry a bit more and pour some more money into prize money. We're falling a little bit behind the mainland as far as prize money. We're very lucky our Liberal government tipped some money in to launch a new breeders bonus scheme last year that I think has probably saved the breeding industry. I think without that we would be in dire straits, but we launched a $20,000 bonus scheme, which sees the winner of every 2-year-old and 3-year-old maiden in Tassie win an extra $20,000 if they're Tas bred, and it also sees any Tasmanian sired horse, if they're nominated in the Tasbred scheme, match Super Vobis bonuses if they run around in Victoria. So it's a scheme that not only recognises the importance of our local racing industry and our local breeding industry, but also the export of our local products. So we think that's been a great start and a good stepping stone, but I guess we've got to continue to lobby government and get them to back an industry that's such a big economic player in such a small state.
Well said, David, and good on you too for sticking at the breeding caper after what were obviously some tough times many years ago.
Yeah, thank you. I guess everyone in this breeding game goes through tough times. I say to a lot of people, it breeds resilience in those that breed, if nothing else. And I guess I was blessed to have been given the opportunity with a grandfather starting the stud in the 60s and my father and mother taking it over. It would have been a real cop-out not to have a crack, and it looks like we might have snared a good one.
What a magic moment you enjoyed yesterday. Congratulations, David, and we look forward to seeing what Mystic Journey goes on to do in her own journey.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for your time.
That's David Wishaw from Armidale Stud in Tasmania. They stand the sire of Mystic Journey, yesterday's Group 1 Australian Guineas winner, Needs Further. This week in Victoria, an important think tank took place between Racing Victoria and the off-the-track licensed retrainers. One of those representatives, Fiona McIntyre, a regular on our show, joins us this morning. How are you, Fiona?
Hi, Joe. I'm very well, thank you.
So explain to us what this gathering was all about.
Okay, so Racing Victoria has an equine welfare strategy. They've had that in place for a couple of years now, and they're basically reviewing that strategy and then creating a new strategy which will be a 3-year one this time round. So I think part of what they're doing there is that they're getting in touch with people that are involved with the welfare side, and that may be pre-racing, during racing, and then post-racing, was the reason for getting the off-the-track retrainers altogether.
Mm. How many of you are there these days?
I think they did say the actual number, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I think there's around about 48. So there's quite a number, and people are still able to go through the process to register and become acknowledged retrainers, but I think there's around about 48 at the moment.
You're one of the leading lights of the group. There's no doubt about that. You've had some great horses over the years. Your latest acquisition, Precedence, how's he going?
Our Precedence is going very well. We were at a competition yesterday, even though it was stinking hot. Luckily, we were finished early, but he went out and won his class and, it went very, very well. Very pleased with the big boy yesterday.
It's so important, isn't it, to see these horses go on and enjoy happy and healthy and successful lives beyond the racetrack. Horse welfare is such a major focus right now for horse racing.
It absolutely is, Joe, and it's, I think it's, you know, it's the forefront of everybody's mind, because at the end of the day, we all care about the horses. We all want to see the best thing happen with them, and particularly once they have finished racing.
Do you think that Racing Victoria are going to further up the ante with their commitment to the off-the-track program?
Look, I hope so. We had the ability to put a wish list up with Racing Victoria so they could have a look at what our needs are as far as retrainers and what they can do to support the retrainers. So they were very open-minded with a lot of suggestions that we made. And having said that, some of the ideas that we came up with, they already had those there. So that was really, really great to see that they were already thinking about more ways they can support the retrainers.
That's good. And it's been enormously positive for the overall image of racing to see these high-profile horses especially go on beyond the racetrack and enjoy a good life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's the thing, and it's one of the things that I've been more than always happy to do is promote that it's not just the horses that don't make it or don't have a successful career that have this opportunity post-racing. It's also these really good horses, top horses, and a good example of that recently is Lankan Rupee has now stepped out into the show ring. So that's another great avenue for showing people that it's not just the slow ones, it's also these good horses that they do have a life after racing.
Fee, thanks for joining us on the program, and we look forward to seeing some positive outcomes from the think tank during the week.
Thanks, Joe. Pleasure.
That's Fee McIntyre, one of the off-the-track retrainers licensed here in Victoria, doing wonderful things for racing and the image of our horses beyond the racetrack. And that's all we've got time for on this busy edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.